So, what's up, guys? It's Joshua Pellis here. Welcome back to another Founding Members Club only call. This whole month we've been doing a really amazing theme. We had a special guest earlier in the month. And last call that we did, we had talked primarily about approach anxiety. And today we're going to continue that conversation, kind of going over a few things we went over last time. I'm taking some questions. And really what I want to get into today is I want to answer as many questions as I possibly can for you guys. It's if you're listening to this call live now, which is, you know, if you're on this call, you are, but anyone's listening to the recording, obviously this won't be the case. But if you're listening live, it is almost the new year. It's literally 2 days from the new year. And the new year's a time for all sorts of new commitments and taking things to the next level. It's going to be an amazing new year for everyone. And I know I have ambitions set up for myself for this new year coming into it, and I'm sure you do too, even if you haven't written them down or you haven't really solidified them yet. So what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about you know, what I can do to help you get to the next level for the new year, and sort of touch on a little bit more about approach anxiety and sort of break it down a little bit more to help you guys get over that so that it's not crippling you or holding you back in any kind of way. In fact, get you to the point where you are just sort of an approach machine. You see somebody you're attracted to, you just walk over there and you talk to her. Of course, we have the standard statement here. I gotta go through my spiel, and that is, if you do have questions and you're listening on your phone, press *2 on your phone and it will raise your hand on here and I will click on you and unmute you. I want to get a lot of questions during this today's call, so if you do want to ping me, ask me any questions at all, you're more than welcome to do that. You know, take me up on that if you can. And then if you are listening on the web via webcast, then you want to just type your question right there into the little box. We end up getting a lot more questions online typed into the little box than we do people raising their hands, and I don't think that's really fair. I think you guys need to raise your hands more. So press *2 if you want to raise your hand and you ask a question, and I will unmute you as soon as I get a chance. And if you don't want to ask your question live, you don't want to talk out loud for whatever reason, maybe you've got a funny sounding voice, I don't know. But if you don't want to, then you can go ahead and go to the webcast, go in the email and listen online and type your question in there. I will be kind of rocking this. It'll be about an hour long today. Normally I go over. Last time I went over like an extra hour or something. It was ridiculous. but we had a great conversation going on. Usually I'll keep going until we get all the questions answered. But today, since it's the last Founding Members Club call of the year, which is really exciting, I'm going to keep it a little bit shorter and save some of the really cool content for the next call and a longer talk to the next call. Brad is with us. Brad, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now Brad, you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, there you go. All right. I didn't hear you at first. You're just kind of like disappearing. Hey, man.
Hey.
Happy holidays.
Thanks.
So Brad and I are going to be here. Brad, also, you're going to be answering some questions as well as they come in. We have a question already, and I'd like to sort of get to it. First, it's a really, really short question with a really, really long answer.
Yeah.
So I just saw that. And I'm going to get to that question today because I want to answer as many questions as possible. But if you guys have any other questions at all, then feel free to ping me and go ahead and start doing that. So go ahead and start writing your questions down. To sort of go over what we're going to be talking about, though, the general theme for today is we're going to be going over approach anxiety. And first, I wanted to sort of talk a little bit about what approach anxiety is and how to tell whether or not you've got it. The truth is that if you have experienced approach anxiety, there's nothing like it. So you've definitely remembered. You would not forget this experience. And that's kind of an annoying thing, of course. But more importantly, if you have approach anxiety, it can be absolutely crippling to the point where you cannot continue to grow and you cannot continue to improve yourself and improve your abilities and skills with women. And because, of course, women, being good with women is probably the most important thing in your life, period. It depicts whether or not you're going to be happy when you get older, depicts whether or not you feel trapped, whether or not you you feel like you are or aren't good enough as a person, which inherently immediately affects your ability to do business and show your value to other people. Not only that, but if you look back on like sort of over history and or even now and look at anyone who's very, very successful in life in general, everyone has a very attractive woman by their side. Now, it could be argued that women are attracted to guys who are very strong go-getters, but it could also be argued that those guys were accepted by other men who were at a similar level because they had an attractive girlfriend in the first place and they were dating attractive women. This is a very, very powerful concept, and I want you to think about that a little bit. So approach anxiety, even if it hasn't affected you that much now or maybe not in the past because you haven't approached that much, you definitely are going to have to overcome that problem, that process, in order to take your life to the next level. And really, because it's the new year and because we're getting started here, it is all about taking it to the next level now. It's all about finding out what your next sort of I guess it's kind of like your frontier, your final frontier for this next year will be, and where you want to be, and kind of deciding that for yourself and taking it there. So hopefully I can help you get to any different level that you want to get to with women especially, and we're going to be talking a little bit about my experiences with approach anxiety and how I overcame them in this call today. Guys, if you have any questions about situations that you are in currently where you saw a girl and you want to know what to do next time you're in that situation, where maybe you see her, maybe you're in a bar, maybe you're in a cafe, maybe you're in school, she goes to school with you, whatever it is, if you have sort of that girl that you saw recently that you didn't go talk to when you know you should have, then go ahead and raise your hand if you're on the phone, press star 2, and if you are online, you can go ahead and type in your question, and just describe your situation, and I will help you walk through it, basically, and tell you what you should say in that situation should it arise again. So besides that, though, I'm going to sort of lay out a few different ideas of approach anxiety and sort of talk a little bit about what we talked about last time and sort of touch on those points again just to kind of drive it home. Now, last time I sort of talked a little bit about how approach anxiety for a lot of people is described as this sort of evolutionary psychology concept. Like the reason why we have approach anxiety is because, 40,000 years ago, we lived in tribes, and those tribes of people were, very cliquey. And if you left and you tried to approach a girl outside of your tribe, then you had legitimate fear because you would have gotten bashed in the head and you would have died, right? And that's kind of the idea. But I don't really necessarily agree with that, personally. I don't see any evidence that that is the case, and we've evolved every other way, even physically, but we've evolved since then, but more so we've evolved psychologically, and our social worlds have changed so much that I don't really see that as being a major factor and being a reason why we have approach anxiety now. I believe instead, and what I've seen, I've seen evidence to support this, I believe that your approach anxiety is a sign of a weak social muscle. And that means that essentially you are going to be approaching women. And if you don't approach people in general when you're curious about them, then you're afraid that you're going to be projecting interest and neediness too soon. And you're afraid because that's true. That's what you will be doing. So instead, if this was an evolutionary psychology concept and it was just the way it was, then you would always have approach anxiety and you'd never be able to overcome it. But that's not true. You can overcome approach anxiety, but you have to work at it and you have to constantly keep it up, because after a while, it will sort of drop back down and you will find it very difficult to approach again. So how do you do this is the real question. Brad, I have a question for you if you're there.
I am.
You're still here. I don't know why you're still here. So whenever you sort of got into this and you were experiencing your first bit of approach anxiety, I'd like to know what that felt like for you. And I wonder if you could describe it. And that, by the way, if you're listening now, Brad and I haven't talked about this ahead of time. We didn't think about what he's going to say. So I just kind of put you on the spot here, Brad. I hope you're okay with that.
That's fine.
And I wanted to know if you could describe a little bit about what you experienced whenever you had approach anxiety, sort of in the very, very beginning.
The best word I can think of immediately is crippling. It's something that affected me. I think physiologically is the word. Just basically, I could feel it throughout my entire body. It was started. If I saw a girl, I mean, I guess before I was even aware that there was something like approach anxiety, that, you know, I would feel these things. But once I became aware, then it was almost even more intense. It was like, because before, I think, you know, I would naturally, my body or my brain, whatever, would hide me from that experience. You know, it'd be like, oh, there's a cute girl, look away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but it was once I became aware that I actually had control over this, that things got way more intense. You know, things got a lot more scary, I guess, because I was actually facing that fear instead of just completely running away.
Mm-hmm.
I can look back on that now. So once I started sort of staring it in the face, I was like, I would look at a cute girl that I really wished I could go talk to, and my heart would start beating really fast.
Right.
And, you know, I'd get all these sort of, these whirling doubts. Like, I could hear them sort of just, like, whispering in my ear, like, you know, she probably will laugh at you, you know, she probably has a boyfriend. That guy over there is probably her boyfriend. I used to think that a lot, you know, actually. I'd be like, the guy, like, you know, at the next table is probably her boyfriend. And if I go and talk to her, he's going to be like, what the fuck, you know, and get all pissed off. And so I just start coming up with ridiculous things like that. I would feel, you know, like a failure, you know. I would feel like, before I even participated, really.
Right.
It was like I wasn't even playing the game, and I felt like I'd lost.
Right.
And then it would get worse and worse, and it would just be like this sensation of spiraling downward.
Mm-hmm. So did you ever, have you ever experienced, like, when you first started doing this, because this is what happens to everybody, in my experience, is that you start to face it, and then you walk up with this in mind, basically. And so what happens to a lot of guys is they're like, okay, I got to face this, I have to go over there, I have to talk anyway, I got to do it, right? So they finally get the guts up, or maybe they don't even get the guts up. They just kind of force themselves to go. And they walk over, but they're walking over with all this crap in their head of like,
oh, that guy,
you know, the guy's probably your boyfriend, and I'm not good enough, and all that stuff. And so they walk over, and they open their mouth, and nothing good comes out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have you I know you've experienced that, obviously, since you're kind of agreeing as I'm saying it. But more importantly, when you got to the point where you sort of just started to be able to see yourself overcoming that, what was your experience that you had? And I'm asking you specifically because you're not me, and, you know, and I want to get your sort of experience with this and not mine, because I know I've talked about mine a lot on here, and I may actually talk about mine in a moment, but I want to get yours first.
So you're saying like when I first started to be able to push myself into those interactions, but I was still coming in with all of this sort of baggage that this person had no idea why I was nervous, why I was. Like that, right?
Well, I'm really more curious about what happened when you first started to overcome that.
Oh, okay.
You know, because I know it was a big shift for you, because I saw it happen.
Yeah, I just started to... I started to feel like... Well, I mean, a huge thing for me was feeling like I deserved that interaction in the first place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like, the process of programming my beliefs. I remember it really happened, you know, last year, around this time when we met up, and I really started to embrace like the whole belief creation process. And the first one that I did was the first one that you outlined, which is that I'm a good looking guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And once I did that, it started to change everything. It started to change how I saw these approaches. Like, I wasn't thinking like that I was like faking it or something. I started to see them as opportunities that I sort of deserved, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I started to see more, I guess, openings. Like, I would start to see things before that I had never seen before. Like, oh, I think that girl was just checking me out, you know, like I think that girl might have just smiled at me. And so those sort of things like helped me to feel more like I deserved to get into those interactions, like to deserve to approach this girl, because I think she might have just checked me out, you know?
Right. So it's not like you're going in so much with all that weight in your shoulders anymore, but more like you're going, okay, well, I'm an attractive guy, so they'd probably be happy if I walked over there.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Like, another thing that helped me, too, was, you know, just sort of thinking, like, what would I do if someone approached me, if a cute girl, or let's not even get that far. Let's just say a girl came and approached me and said, you know, wow, I just think you're really cute. You know, how would I react? Would I be like, what the fuck? You know, like, what right do you have to come over here and tell me that? Like, I don't even know you, you know? And I was like, no, that's not how I would act. So I started to kind of
convince myself.
You'd
probably just punch her, and that'd be the end of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, depending on, you know,
I guess so.
How attractive she was. So that was another thing for me that was pretty big, and just, like, thinking, like, come on, you're being ridiculous, you know? Like, everybody likes the compliment of, you know, having the opposite gender validate them sexually, basically.
Right.
Of course, that gets a little complicated when there are women who get approached tens or hundreds of times a day, but...
Well, the thing is that I think that the question is, how do you, you know, even if they are approached tens or, you know, 10 times a day or 100 times a day or whatever... you can't let that stop you, because your brain will use that as an excuse as soon as you realize that it's a legitimate excuse. Your brain will begin to use it even if it's not legitimate, you know, even if it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So you can't really trust that thought process in the beginning, especially, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess for me it was a pretty, I could feel this change in more aspects than just that one, you know, snapshot moment where I'm looking at a girl that I think is cute and I go, all right, go approach her, you pussy, you know, like, it started, like, a lot more was changing because I changed my belief that I was an attractive guy. I just didn't believe it before, and I went through the belief creation process, and when I got to the other side, that's when I started to really be able to get into more approaches, I guess, so... It felt good, you know?
Right.
It felt like I was in a more receptive, I was in a more learning state after that. Like, I was like, I think that girl just checked me out. I'm going to go see. And it wasn't like I was like, Joe, cool, you know? I didn't walk in and be like, hey, I saw you check me out. I was still nervous, you know? I still was like, I have no idea. Maybe I'm misinterpreting that, you know? But the fact, you know, I had that. I had sort of opened that door and stepped through it, at least, that maybe this girl was already attracted to me or whatever, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing about sort of overcoming approach anxiety is that's not just a, you know, mindless act to do, you know, and you really do have to look at it and go, okay, well, you know, it's not just about saying, okay, well, let me just approach as many women as possible. That won't necessarily get you over your approach anxiety. The more important thing is that, like you're saying, you integrate this sort of belief creation process with the approach process as well. And that allows you to be able to really believe that stuff and really make it work for you. Whenever I was going out to approach, when I first moved to New York, it was like I moved to a whole new echelon of women, you know, and a new upper level. There wasn't an upper level like that when I lived in North Carolina before that.
I know exactly what you mean.
And so stepping into that space, I was like, oh, man, I was a little bit nervous kind of going there. But when I got there, sort of the thing that really hit me was that I had to fall back on my belief again. You know, I had to fall back on my beliefs to go, okay, well, look, I walk up, I'm going to be the best thing this woman's ever seen. You know, and if I'm not, then something's wrong with her, but that's okay. You know, that's really how I would think at the time. I would think that way. It was like I had to think that way in the beginning, because otherwise I would get stressed out and nervous and basically piss myself with fear, and I would never go up and do anything. Or if I did, it would start a downward spiral of a really bad night, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me over and over and over again before that. So when I got to New York, I was like, I had to make a conceited effort for myself to constantly remind myself that I'm an attractive guy, even in a town like New York, where there are lots and lots and lots and lots of guys who have lots of options for women. And it can be a really hard thing to to walk into a place like that and compete with all these men for women. So I was able to learn how to do that. And the way that I learned how to do that was by staying one step ahead of everybody else. And I'd like to talk a little bit today about something that I've probably never talked about before, with, I don't know, maybe with anybody really, any of my students. And that is how to deal with, like, I've talked a little bit about how to deal with assholes in bars, but really how to, like, use the guys in the bar to help you pick up a girl. You know what I'm talking about, Brad? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, continue.
I was just talking with a coaching client tonight about this, by the way.
Oh, were you really? That's fantastic. I was listening. I've wiretapped your phone.
I stay in here. Your dungeon, so you probably just listened to the vents.
Hey, shh, you're not supposed to say anything. let's talk a little just a little bit more about approach anxiety. Then I want to get over to this, like, when you do get to a place and you want to make things a little bit easier for you to approach and you don't want to do things the hard way over and over and over again, let me tell you a little bit about how to utilize your area of where you are, your environment, to make it easier for you to approach. If you're listening to recording this call, it may already be out, but for those of you who are live right now, there will be a program that I'm releasing really soon, called Attraction in Action. I've never talked about it before on here, as far as I know. And Attraction in Action is a program that I've done, and a few guys who are on this call now actually showed up to that, and it was a phenomenal course, and it went over how to approach any woman in any situation ever, pretty much, unless she was on fire. You know, on fire and living on the sun. I didn't go over that one. But besides that, every other situation you could possibly think of. And I went over, basically, it was all about just about attraction, and that's it. And so it was really, really powerful, and a lot of guys got a lot out of it. So when that does come out, definitely grab a copy of that. But before we sort of, you know, the reason I'm bringing that up is because I'm going to go over a few things that I talked about then that helped guys sort of understand how to approach in an easy way and not in a hard way, because you got to remember, and you got to remind yourself this probably sometimes, but you need to remember that approaching women in bars is probably the hardest place to approach a woman to get attraction. This is like a lot of guys go there because they're like, oh, I got to learn how to meet women. Women go to bars and clubs, so I'm going to go to bars and clubs and I'm going to try to pick them up, you know? But that is the hardest place to pick them up, period, without a doubt. There are places easier than that include funerals. You know, I mean, they also include sinking boats. It's just really difficult to pick women up in a club, in a bar. So naturally, we all flock there because we want to prove to ourselves that we can do this. And so we pick the hardest environment that we can possibly go to meet women. And that place is definitely bars and clubs. So what I want to talk about today a little bit is how to make that a lot easier, sort of hack the system of clubs and bars so that it's all working in your favor. And that way you experience a much lower level of approach anxiety if you experience any at all, which is likely that you won't experience any. So if you do have any experiences like that, guys, then definitely listen up, because I'm going to go over some of that stuff with you. I'm getting some more questions rolling in here, which is good. Guys, keep your questions coming, because I'm going to be answering a lot of them today. So let's go over first sort of the key to approach anxiety. And I talked about this last time, so I'm just going to briefly go over it. And that is, approach anxiety comes when you have, like I said earlier, a weak social muscle. A weak social muscle essentially means that you don't exercise your social abilities like you need to. And therefore, when you attempt to talk to somebody, your abilities socially are lacking. And that's what happens. That's totally normal. It makes complete sense. Just like any other muscle, if you don't work it out, you experience atrophy and even soreness when you try to work it out, and you don't, you know, have weakness and all that stuff as well, you know, a significant loss of strength. So whenever you are going out to meet women, you have to, you know, work up your social muscle before you do it. If you don't, you're really wasting your time, because you're going to go out attempting to bench press 500 pounds from nothing. And you can't do that. You'll be too weak to do it, and you'll be really disappointed in yourself, and you'll have all these negative self-thought, like, you know, self-beliefs and stuff that go along with it, and that will ultimately hinder your progress, not increase your progress. So what I'd like you to do instead is work your way up to that point where you have, where you sort of take your time building up your social interactions to the point where you're able to now look at women and go approach them. And the best way to do this that I found is to start out small. Start out really small. I'm not talking about unattractive women. No, those are, that's smaller than attractive women, of course. It's like a little bit easier.
Talking about short women.
Very tiny women who are, you can fit them in the palm of your hand.
No, that's small.
Exactly. Very small. I'm saying start out with just hanging out in a public place. Like a very simple process, right? You go and you sit there for 45 minutes and you just be around people until you get to the place where you are not worried at all around these people. You're just completely comfortable sitting there. You feel like you belong there in some kind of sense. Now, you're not talking to everybody. You're not connecting. You're not, you know, chatting up chicks over and over again, but you feel comfortable just kind of sitting there, right? And that is, that's the first step. If you can't do that, there's no way you're going to be comfortable walking into a bar at nighttime with loud music and approaching women, period. And you're not going to be successful at it either. I don't care how many sort of loopholes or cool techniques or tricks you know. If you don't know how to sit in a place, public place, like a cafe, for example, then you're not going to be able to walk into a bar and attract women. So let's say you started out there. What I actually did for me is I started out with sitting in public places like this, you know, way before I realized why I was doing it. I was just trying to fit in. I didn't realize I was trying to do it for women at the time. I was much, much younger. And when I first started thinking about, you know, using this stuff to attract women, one of the things that I did is I spent my first maybe 2 months just going and sitting in bars and talking to the bartenders. And that's it. I just order drinks and by myself. I wouldn't drink too much, just a little bit. Sometimes I'd bring a book, that which is a silly idea, but I did it anyway. And I would just sit there and read.
I could see you doing that.
Yeah. I actually ended up doing that much later in life too, but that's another story. So I would just sit there and read a book for a little while, and I'd get, if you do that, you get women coming to talk to you and wanting to, interested in what you're doing. Now, because I didn't have any skills yet, I would just blow every woman off because I didn't know how to talk to them. So I would reject them before they could reject me, sort of in a way. And that was what I did. But I was really just trying to get comfortable with the environment and really understand it. Then I got a job at a bar, and that was really when I started to get it, you know, when I really started to figure it out. But before then, I sat there and just tried to feel comfortable. So once you get to the place where you're comfortable just sitting there, and that's it, not interacting at all, don't put any pressure on yourself to interact, then you want to start talking to people who are the least attractive to you, meaning maybe old men first, old guys. Just be like, hey, what's going on, you know, and talk about whatever. It doesn't matter. You can practice banter. You can practice whatever you want. And old women are the same way. You know, you're not going to have any kind of fear walking up to an old woman in a convenience store and saying, give me all your money. No, I'm kidding. And saying, you know, hey, that your hair looks really cute today. You know, that's it. She'd be like, oh, thank you. You know, you have absolutely no fear whatsoever for saying that. I'm not saying you need to, you know, try to hook up with her unless that's your thing. You know, if it is, no big deal. But I did just watch, what movie was that? I saw some movie where some guy, oh, Grown Ups. That's what I saw. And one of the characters in that movie, Rob Schneider's character, really, he's like dating like a 65-year-old woman or something. But anyway, it was a ridiculous movie. Not that there's anything wrong with that. So ultimately, though, you want to start out with women who are much, much older, who are absolutely out of the question as far as you would not be able to date them or attract them. You wouldn't be interested in them in a million years. You're just not interested in this person. And you want to start with them, and you want to get used to talking to them. This may take a few days. You know, you may have to sit and only talk to older women or older men and just sit and chat with them and see what they have to say until you feel comfortable doing it. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. Ben.
This is something, if you've come from an introverted past, a sort of shortcut thing that I did to, because this gap might even seem like a wide one to bridge for people. Just to talk to strangers might seem strange, like, mm-hmm. It might seem difficult, even if they're not sexually interested in them, for me it was like, that person's going to be like, they're going to see that I have no reason to talk to them, and they're going to wonder why I'm talking to them. You know, that was what was going through my head. So I had to train myself a lot to just say things, like let go of whether or not it was like the perfect thing to say in that moment. You know, like even when I was talking to strangers and when I went through this process, it was like by strangers, I'm sorry, I mean
you mean people older have people. Candy in their vans. I hope that's what you mean.
Yes.
Stranger danger.
Stranger danger. I mean, people who aren't girls that I'm attracted to, but are, you know, out and about at coffee shops and stuff. I had to really, like, reinforce in my head that it was okay to talk to strangers.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. May sound funny, but it's absolutely true. You know, I mean, we've been programmed since we were little kids to not do that, because that made sense then. You know, it made sense that we think that strangers are bad back then, because we could have gotten kidnapped or, you know, anything could have happened. So we're supposed to be not thinking that. So instead, you know, you have to build this up. And you, Brad, you and I sort of independently did the same thing too, and that is we started talking to homeless people. This is probably the easiest kind of person to talk to. Maybe one of the most annoying at times. But definitely one of the easiest to talk to, because you don't need a reason to talk to a homeless person because they're just happy someone's talking to them, you know?
I did not realize until just now that Marcy, who we've talked about before, was indeed the first person I met here that I called her by name, you know?
Right. Yeah, totally.
That's interesting.
You know, and I actually, I don't know if I ever told you this or not, Brad, but there was a time before I got into any of this stuff that I was focusing on only hanging out with homeless people. I hung out with probably 20 or so homeless people. I all knew them by name. And I would actually go there specifically. I'd leave my house, go to where all the homeless people were hanging out, and just sit there and talk to them. And that's all I would do. And I didn't have, at the time, I didn't have any reason for doing this. I just wanted to be, I wanted to understand what was going on in their heads. And I knew that they weren't going to reject me because they're homeless people. I mean, they're just happy, and they're happy that someone's talking to them in the first place. And of course I had a few that were like constantly begging me for money, even though I've been sitting there for 3 days, you know, and they're like, "Hey man, you got any money? You got any change?" And I would just say, "No, I'm not going to give you guys any money, but I will hang out and talk to you for a little while." You know, and I just got to learn so many cool things. I met a guy who was a mathematician. It turned out, and I thought he was just sitting there staring off into space, but he was actually calculating stuff. So he was looking at bridges and stuff. I always see him staring at bridges. And he was calculating the length and arch, or the arc of the bridge, based on the stuff that he knew how far it was. And he was doing the math and figuring the bridge out. And I didn't know that, so I would just sit there and like talk to him about math all day, even though I'm really terrible at math. But still, you know, I learned something from these people, and I had a really great time doing it. And it really helped me sort of focus a lot more on just the conversation and not so much about the person's value that I was talking to. And when you begin to see value in people that are valueless, you begin to drop the people down who seem to have a lot of value. You drop them down to an average level. It's just sort of one of those processes that you don't think is going to happen. You know, instead of, if you see hot women and you're constantly intimidated by them, if you bring homeless people up in your mind to be the same level as these hot girls are no longer hot to you. I mean, they're cute, but they're not like outrageous and untouchable anymore. And this is one of the side effects of doing that. And it's kind of funny, actually, that talking to homeless people would help you meet women, but it's true. You know, it helps a whole lot. So I started out with that. I started out with older people, very much older. And so I got to the place where I could literally walk up to any older person or any homeless person and just start talking. Like, "So, what? Why are you here? Why are you hanging out here? You know, what's going on? Uh-huh. Did you like? Do you live somewhere? Do you not have a house? Do you have a box? What kind of box is it? You know, what kind of music do you like?" So I just like talked their ear off, and they were happy to hear me and listen. So eventually, then I moved from there to guys that are about my age, and I just wanted to fit in with these guys, and that's it. I just wanted to be a part of a group, like almost like a not in a traditional sort of college kind of way, but in a in a real sort of sense of the word, fraternity, part of a brotherhood, yeah. You know, part of a friendship group that accepted me, kind of what you guys do with us, with each other, you know, and how we all are, we're all in the members area, in the DAO members area, kind of asking each other questions and answering them. And that's very awesome, you know, very, very fun and makes us feel like we're part of a group because we are. And I really wanted to get used to that. The hard thing about, the bad thing rather, about just doing this stuff online is that you don't get the physical interaction process down and you won't be able to actually use it to increase your social skills by being online only. So you have to go out and start applying this stuff elsewhere. But, the good side of everything is that it will help you in general feel like you're part of a brotherhood, and that's a really, really big deal. So that's why I encourage everyone to meet up as much as possible. And pretty soon we're going to be releasing something really phenomenal around the DAO Ambassador Program, which Brett Hoppenwasser is the only current DAO Ambassador. We tried out with him first. And we're going to be having meetup groups for everybody so everyone can actually show up and talk to each other and learn from each other on a, you know, monthly, if not bi-monthly, or at the very least quarterly basis, four times a year, and have everybody just come together in that region and just learn for free, you know, because I think that's really what it's about. You have to be physically interacting with people in a way that feels like a brotherhood in order to truly see the kind of results that you want to out of your interactions with other people as well. So then I got to where I was attracting. God, that was a Freudian slip. Where I was talking to guys. And then, by the way, if you do end up meeting a gay guy, it's probably going to boost your ego like crazy. Gay guys are like so easy to talk to because they are just attracted to anything with a penis. So he'll make you feel like you're the hottest guy in the universe because that's what they do. Usually, that's what they do. And so I would talk to guys. And then I graduated on to women who I think are horrible, like not attractive whatsoever, like just ugly. You know, and I would actually just go to bars to talk to them. You know, I just want to talk to those girls. And what ends up happening is as you start to just focus on these other people besides the hot girls begin to focus on you because they see you talking to everyone else but them. And if you're just shameless and you're not, you know, you can walk into a group with three hot girls and one unattractive girl and just talk to the unattractive girl if you want to, you know, and that would be perfectly fine for you. You could do that and just get to know her a little bit. And as you do that, the other girls begin to wonder why you're not talking to them. So they start to approach you and talk to you. And what happens eventually is you get to the point where you are consistently hanging out with attractive women as well. And you treat everybody the same. And this is really the key to overcoming approach anxiety. Brad, did you have a note that you wanted to add to that?
I was just thinking, I was going to make some smart-ass remark about, like, so you mean hot girls have feelings too, you know. Like, I used to think that, you know, hot girls were like another species, basically. You know.
You know, I think like that's common. That's very common. It's also common to think that they're not on your side.
Yeah. Or that they have like some like.
You there, Brad? Brad, you there? I think I lost you. Hopefully, I'm still plugged in.
Here in just one moment.
And that's where babies come from. So I don't know what happened there. Yeah. I guess I lost internet. Brad, you were rolling there for a minute. What did you end on before you realized I wasn't there?
I'm not sure at what point you left, but basically just saying that, you know, guys will fall into the trap of thinking that cute girls or hot girls specifically are some sort of other species that they don't have, like, human desires, concerns, insecurities, etc. You know?
Body like parts.
Yeah. You know, the social insecurity, like, if you see somebody going around and talking to everybody in the place but you, you're going to start to wonder, like, what's going on? Why am I not included in this, you know?
Right, exactly. You know, another thing is that, it's funny that I was talking about, you were just talking about how they're just normal people, just like everybody else. The funny thing is that whenever I first started getting over approach anxiety, when I was really going up to the next level, you know, you'll be approaching and attracting women that are kind of mediocre in the beginning, and then you'll sort of graduate to this one moment where you realize that your next step is really hot girls, like the really hot girls, you know, the ones with super nice body, the ones with that everyone's looking at that are done up like to the nines, you know? And you're going to have to go after these girls, which means you have a whole another level of competition for these women as well. And what I used to do before I walked up with these girls, I think I probably talked about this before. It's kind of gross. I hope you don't mind me saying this, but I used to, when I first started, I used to picture them just as graphically and with as much detail as possible. I would picture them taking the gnarliest shit of all time. Just like, like horrible, hold the toilet seat, like hold myself down, shitting everywhere, almost crying shit. Like really, like just, and I would vividly picture this girl in the toilet, like just, you know, being gross as hell, you know? And for some reason, that sort of like got me to the point where I was able to, you know, get comfortable walking up and talking to her. Because at that point, I was kind of afraid before that, that, you know, I kind of had in my head that she was this perfect woman who, like, you know, that, you know, her shit smelled like roses, that kind of thing, you know? And that's not really, that's obviously a very, very terrible thing to think, because you start thinking stuff like that, and then when you go to talk to her, it's, you're going to be doing nothing but trying to impress her, and that's unattractive. The sort of mentality that I had eventually that really got me good with those women was sort of like, okay, so I did this recently. I was sitting at, I threw in a bachelor party for a friend of mine, and a girl sat down next to me. She was like just gorgeous girl next to a pool. So we're laying down and she had like a bathing suit on and everything. And she sat down and she started talking to me. I really didn't want to talk to her, to be honest, because I didn't want to incriminate myself with doing this. But I was like, okay, let me start talking to this girl. So I started chatting with her and I just started talking to her like I totally got her. Right. So I was like, so is that your friend or some guy are you dating that guy, or is he some guy who's orbiting around you that's trying to get your attention, hoping that you're going to sleep with him someday? You know? And she's like, oh, He's definitely the second. I was like, oh, really? Well, how long has he been hanging out? Like, just all of a sudden, just like, I get it. I understand. You know, I understand what it's like, because all I have to do is go, what would I do if I were that guy? And I wanted this girl, what would I do? And then just talk to her as if I am not that guy. And it makes it seem like I'm not that guy, you know? And that's what when I first realized that it started really working for me, that's what I was doing. I'd be like, oh man, I bet you get approached like 1,000 times a night by guys telling you cheesy pickup lines. What was the best one? What was the last one you heard that was really terrible that made you laugh? And what was one that worked that was kind of like actually pretty clever, you know? Mm-hmm. And then like just sort of have that kind of conversation with her. And usually women feel really comfortable with that because they feel like, oh, they never get to talk to anyone about that stuff except other hot girls, you know? And that's a really comforting thing for them. They feel really comfortable, like, and as if you understand, because you're the guy who those women, like her, vent to, meaning that you're the guy who's like, they go, oh my God, I'm so glad that you're here because all these, you know, terrible guys are hitting on me and blah, 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 you know? And that's really mm-hmm. what you want to be. And that's sort of the place that you want to put yourself in so that you're coming across like that guy as well. So that was kind of a major shifting point for me as well. I'm going to go to a few questions in here. Brad, while I'm doing this, Jonathan just wrote, and he's asking if his questions from last time are going to be answered. Do you have those questions somewhere in your email? I think you sent them to me via email.
Yep. I have.
It'd be really cool if you could pull those up real quick.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
I have one. You already from Jonathan.
Okay, cool. Why don't you go ahead and read off those questions, and I'll answer them from last time.
All right. I'm gonna get rid of some. Phil had a bunch of comments that I also wrote down.
Okay.
So, deleting those.
Freaking Phil with his comments.
just kidding, Phil. Jonathan, is attraction still curiosity in relationship balance? If we stop playing psychological games and banter, won't she lose attraction for us since that's what she was attracted to in the first place? How is it different than seduction in this stage?
Okay. So first thing you have to realize, Jonathan, is that attraction is solidified during rapport. So that means that once you build up attraction and then you go into rapport, that attraction is concrete now. It stops. Just kind of like where it stays. It stays right there. Now, over time, you're going to be increasing this attraction later on. But Once you get to that point, that'll last you a very long time. That'll last you, the amount of attraction that you build up in the beginning will last you 6 months. That's why a lot of relationships end at 6 months. Because, or 4 months, rather, somewhere around the 4 to 6 months. Because girls are attracted, guys do all the attraction work in the beginning, then they build up rapport afterwards and they solidify the attraction, and then they never revisit it after that. They just kind of are constantly doing rapport, constantly trying to get into seduction stage, and they know it's going to end eventually, so that's the end of that, you know? So during the relationship balance stage, it is still about curiosity. And it's going to be about curiosity up until, actually probably forever, to be honest. And the only way to constantly generate curiosity is to constantly change yourself, meaning that you take on something new. You sort of take the next step in your manhood, and that makes you curious, as in you're kind of becoming this new person. And that is what you have to do. You have to focus on that when you're in a relationship. It is about curiosity, but it's not as much about curiosity in the sense that that she's going to be wondering whether or not you're actually a confident guy. She knows that at this point. So now she's going to be curious more about going in depth into your personality and discovering new things that she didn't know about you. For example, my girlfriend, she did not know that I knew how to ride a motorcycle, that I used to own a motorcycle. So when I got my most recent motorcycle, I have a cruiser, which is badass, I might add. I like it a lot. It's a Kawasaki Vulcan. So I got this motorcycle. When I got it, I didn't tell her that I knew how to ride motorcycles. I just went and picked it up. And she didn't think about it. She knew that I knew how to because I had had one before, but she didn't really think about it or picture it or anything like that. So she'd never seen it. So when she saw it again, it was like all of a sudden there was this new dimension to me as a man. And that was very, very powerful. And that sort of upped the attraction again. I also played drums. I don't tell a lot of people that. I play guitar, drums. I played mandolin. A little bit of piano. I surf. I have skateboarded for a long period of time as well. And I can do I don't know how many pull-ups I can do now, but I used to be able to do like 40, 50 pull-ups when I was younger. There's always little things about me that I don't think are really interesting or cool, but I've sort of built them up over time. You know, I know a lot about scotch. I know a lot more about wine than I used to. And about like little gentlemanly like things that I learned from, mostly from The Modern Gentleman. If you guys haven't bought that book, I love that book. That's one of my favorite books of all time. It's called The Modern Gentleman. It was written by a guy named Jason Tesoro and another guy named Phineas Malad. I know, don't even try to remember their names. But it's called The Modern Gentleman. If you look it up, I think they just released a new edition. And they actually interviewed me for the tattoo part of that book about how to get tattoos, whether or not you should get tattoos, and all the rules about it. And
I actually just bought it. I got a Kindle for Christmas. And
did you really?
Yeah, I did.
I guess I'll take your gift back then. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
I'm kidding. Cool.
Anyway, it was the first book I bought was The Modern Gentleman 2.0 because I read through most of the first one, and I loved it as well, and I wanted to see how they updated it.
Are you impressed with the updates?
Amazing. Yes. They talked about social networking.
Oh.
So they go into like Facebook and texts, and it's awesome.
Cool, man.
I remember one of the lines, you know, do you remember the jukebox hero section?
Yeah.
Like how to properly, you know, manage a jukebox in a bar setting.
Used that more than anything else in that book. By the
really?
Way, yes, I've used that so much. Because when you get to the jukebox, everyone thinks, oh, I'm going to play something that everyone's going to know about my personality. Like, it's like, I'm going to reveal myself and what I'm into. But that's not what it's about. It's about playing stuff people want to listen to. Like, you want to be the person where people are like, yeah, you played this song. Awesome. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, they've updated it to say the Justin Bieber, or never play Justin Bieber light is always lit. no Justin Bieber light is always lit. So they're just brilliant with words. Like I don't know who does most of the writing, but
Jason.
Both of them are, you know, they're brilliant guys. And
yeah, you had the opportunity of meeting them actually in New York. That was a very pleasant surprise. They were both there. We got to sit with both of them and talk to both of them in a bar together, which is really rare. So, and they are phenomenal guys. Yeah, man. I learned a lot of my stuff about that sort of thing from that book and from knowing those guys. like how to tie a full Windsor or not, stuff like that. I actually taught Neil Strauss when I met him. That was the first thing I really had a conversation with him about was I taught him how to tie a full Windsor knot, and he said it changed his life, which is pretty silly. But ultimately, you know, I learned a lot of little things like this, and she didn't know some of it about me. I don't like rush to try to tell her everything that's cool about me because I have so many things that I know how to do now and that I've sort of learned that I can take my time with it, and it keeps the attraction going long term that way, because it is still about curiosity. And that's kind of my point, Jonathan, is that yes, it is about curiosity, but no, it's not about trying to prove that you are actually a confident man. It becomes more about showing different levels and different dimensions of your personality that she didn't know existed or had never seen before. So any moment where you can stand and be like the center of attention and in your element is a good opportunity for you once you're in a relationship. Brad, what's the next question from Jonathan?
How or when do I go about talking about what kind of relationship is going on between the girl and I, or getting her to be my girlfriend?
Well, that changes drastically based on your situation. So if you're in a friend zone kind of situation, then you don't talk about that. You have to back out and then start from scratch almost, pushing things forward from a place of physical connection. But if you are sort of hooking up with a girl and everything and you want to date her exclusively, you need to have that conversation. If you're asking me this question, it means it's a little bit late, most likely. It means that you're already in a place where you've been hooking up with a girl for a little while, and it's like you feel like that, you know, what are we conversation's about to happen. If she brings up the what are we conversation, that means you're not doing your job as a man. That means that you have neglected to sort of put that out there, to be the person who is in control or leading this interaction, this relationship. So if you're waiting for that to happen, then you already screwed that up a little bit, but that's okay. If you haven't, though, the best thing to do is to lay out what you want before you hook up with her. And not in a way that seems like, hey, just so you know, we're going to hook up later, so I want to let you know what's going to happen. You can do that, by the way. As long as you're kind of half joking while you do it, you're fine. But I'm talking more about saying, you know what I really hate? I hate whenever I am dating a girl or I'm hooking up with a girl. I hook up with her once, and then the next day she's calling me her boyfriend. Why do girls do that? You know? And then she'll be like, I don't know, but guys do the same thing. And you go, you know what? I think that's ridiculous. I think that after a couple of weeks, maybe you have the conversation if it's a good idea. If not, then don't even worry about it and just kind of like keep hooking up and hanging out. You know, and she may be like, yeah, I totally agree. Well, that's you having the conversation, the end. You know, that's it for at least a week or so. And then you're going to have to dive in a little bit deeper. The more important, you know, actually, if you, this next month in January, we're going to be launching a new, brand new product, and it's never been released. It's called Polydating. And Polydating is all about dating multiple women at the same time. And there's a major section in here called the setup in Polydating. And the setup is all about how to talk to a girl in the beginning of an interaction to make her comfortable with you dating her plus multiple women at the same time. And to make her not just comfortable with it, but also excited about it, like really cool, like it's a relief that you're doing it. So if you're going to be in a polyamorous relationship, then you need to bring that up in the first 5 minutes of talking to her. And you need to know it in the first 5 minutes of talking to her. And if you're going to be in a monogamous relationship, you need to know that too. And you need to bring that up and take your time and really have that in mind. Right now, what you're doing is you're kind of winging it, Jonathan. If you're asking this question because you have a situation like this, you're kind of winging it in that you're saying, okay, well, you know, I'm going to, I'm just going to hang out, and then whenever it pops up, it'll pop up, and no big deal. But the problem with that is that she is going off in her head somewhere, and you have no idea where she's going. It's very likely that she's saying, okay, well, we're boyfriend, girlfriend. She's telling all of her friends about you, and you haven't even hooked up with her, you know, but she's off telling everybody, you know. And then whenever you're like, hey, I didn't call you for a day, or you don't call her for 2 days or something, she'll freak the hell out, you know, because she thinks that you're her boyfriend already in her head. So you really have to focus on having that conversation early in the interaction and having sort of being focused with that and making sure that you're deliberate with it. Otherwise, you'll end up in a situation where there's nothing you can do. You don't have that conversation because as soon as you do, you screw it all up. But if you are in a situation now and you want to get out of it and you want to like you want to actually date her exclusively and everything, then you're going to have to just sit her down and talk to her about it. And the way to tell when you do it is whenever you have been for at least 5 days in a row, you've been calling her and or talking to her or meeting up with her every day. Or if she's staying over at your house more than two nights a week, it's about time to have that conversation. You know, and I would consider that. So that's about it. You just got to look for that. And hopefully that's not the case. And you have, you know, you're sort of asking this ahead of time and it's not a big deal. But if it is the case, then, you know, that's how you want to go about it. Brad, is that it for Jonathan?
Yeah, those are all Jonathan's questions. We have a couple more that we could get to if, you know, once we get through the questions from today.
Yeah, I think we're not going to have time to go over any more except the ones from today. We're going to have to skip Victor's question. I'm sorry, Victor. I know that you probably really want to know the answer to this, but you're going to have to. We went over this. Victor asked, can you go through the whole map of interaction in a group? And the reason why I can't really do that, well, the reason why I wouldn't want to do that is because we have we have the first, some of the first calls, like the first 3-4 months of calls were all about the map of interaction. And I have a webinar that I do frequently that goes over the map of interaction as well from piece to piece. So if you do want that information, I think I actually recorded one of those. Maybe I can release that as a recording to some people where they can see me go over my attraction flowchart. I just got a question from Jonathan. Jonathan asks, can I talk about upcoming topics for the Founding Members Club calls? Sure, I can do that. The next topic we're going to cover in the coming months are going to be pattern interrupts, basically how to snap somebody out of their autopilot state and wake them up. You can use this for a variety of different things, but one of the most powerful sort of concepts to use this pattern interrupt for is to catch a girl off guard with some kind of very, very sexually powerful compliment or statement that sort of snaps her out of her regular thought process and thought mode. We're going to go over how to recognize and how to eliminate excuse processes to keep yourself from approaching and improving. We're going to go over energy levels. We're going to go over how to keep your state and her state up, meaning that when you meet a girl and you're getting her to your house, how do you keep her excited as you're like going there, you know, and keep her laughing and bantering and being silly with you so that she doesn't get stale. And then we're going to start going into banter. And banter is going to be a really awesome process that we're going to talk a lot about banter. After that, we have a whole bunch of things. This next year is going to be full of really amazing topics for founding members. So I'm jealous that you guys are going to have the opportunity to experience this for the first time. It's like, I remember doing this for myself. It's like watching a movie that's really amazing and not knowing how good it's going to be, you know? It's kind of like watching Game of Thrones. If you haven't watched Game of Thrones and you have not really heard of it or anything, it's a TV show. And if you haven't seen it, I get jealous because I remember watching every episode. I couldn't wait to see the next one. It was just awesome. Now I'm through with the first season. So it's kind of like I already know what happened and it lost its luster, but I'm jealous of you guys to be able to sit there and like really experience this for the first time. So we're going to go over a lot of those topics, Jonathan. I just wanted to kind of ping you and let you know that stuff and other stuff too. Brad, you want to go ahead and read off the next question maybe from Mark here?
Yes. A lady I have a great deal of interest in approached me at work with the comment, "You are so sweet. I should
or want or need to. I can't remember.
She didn't ask, yeah. I need to cook you breakfast." Important words, but I can't remember exactly what they were. I failed to ask right away, and it cooled from there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have out of the ball game, but what are your... Oh. I don't think I'm like out of the ball game.
Okay.
But what are your thoughts on this conversation?
Okay. Well, a girl walked up to you at work and she said, "You are so sweet. I should cook you breakfast." Means she wants to fuck you. That's what that means. So just to kind of put that out there. That's actually pretty straightforward from a girl. I mean, that's like, it doesn't come much more straightforward than that. That's like a, that's pretty, she's being pretty aggressive here with this. If you, my thoughts on this conversation is that she wants to hook up with you and you just need to give her a reason. You know, you should have, I mean, you don't need to ask her right then. You don't need to say, hey, look, let's, well, if you're going to cook me breakfast, then why don't we go out tonight? You know, and when you wake up with me in the morning, you can cook me breakfast. That's not what she wants. Instead, she wants some kind of role playing here, you know, some kind of playful role playing. And that can come very easily in the form of like, well, you can cook me breakfast, but I just have to let you know that I'm used to a stack of pancakes, a waffle, two eggs, over medium, by the way, you know, two potatoes, and I need you to cook those with rosemary and garlic. And if it's not the perfect amount, I'll get a little aggravated, so make sure you do that. You know, I need a glass of orange juice. I like Chex cereal, but I don't like Cap'n Crunch because it cuts the roof of my mouth. Just so if you have to go shopping, you can go get that. You know, just like totally take it out of control. And like the place where you're just like, you know, she's basically just laughing. Like, do you want me to write this down for you, or are you good with it in your head? You know, because there will be a quiz. You know, so just basically banter that off so she's laughing and stuff and then go... And then later on, you don't. I usually wouldn't approach this immediately and go, let's hang out, let's hook up, because then it seems like you're just so fucking desperate for this chick. And that's a lot of women actually like that. They like that you are super desperate for them. So they'll, I mean, they like it as in, that's all they need. They're done after that. They're like, oh, this guy's desperate. That's all I wanted him to be, and so I'm done with it. I'm gone, right? They just wanted you to chase them for a minute and be interested. So it validates them. So instead of doing that, you're going to be bantering with her a lot. And then later on, you're going to be inviting her out. One thing you can do, though, it's really, really funny, is you can go, hey, a bunch of us are going out to so-and-so at this night. Why don't you meet us there? And she'll go, okay, sure. And then don't invite anybody else. And just just be there. And she shows up. She's like, where's everybody? And you go, oh, I lied about that. It was just me. Because she doesn't really care. She just wants to hang out with you. But she doesn't want... it to be like, oh, well, then I guess we can have sex. Why don't we just make this logistically make sense? And then the end, right? She doesn't want it to be like that. She wants it to be more like kind of fun. And she's going to need that plausible deniability because she just gave away all of her plausible deniability when she did that. So if you do want to move forward with that, that's the way to do it. Next time she kind of has that conversation, you want to banter a lot. And then, you know, she comes on to you like that. Banter a lot, especially if it's at a work setting. Like, and that's what it says, approach you at work. It may be someone who's not working with you, I see. But if it's at a work setting, you definitely want to banter it away and make sure you have a way to like get in touch with her, maybe get her phone number or something. In case, you know, get her phone number just in case you need her to text you the list, you know, that kind of thing. Like just joke around a little bit. Maybe I'll just text you this grocery list and you can go shopping, you know. And so get her number or something and then hang out with her later on. So that's what I would do. Next, Brad, we got a couple from Igor/. Oh, he wrote Igor here instead of Igor because I kept saying Igor, which is from Young Frankenstein. But Igor. So you want to go ahead and get that first one, Brad?
Yeah. It says, first of all, I would like to thank you guys. Thanks, Igor.
You're welcome.
Because of the Tao of Badass, now I have a girlfriend.
Yay!
That's awesome.
Girlfriend 1!
Yeah, girlfriend 1! Okay. The strange thing is that after you get one, you kind of become more attractive to the other ones. For me, my way of turning off the approach fear is to use self-hypnosis before going to talk to a girl. Is this kind of tactic healthy?
I don't know what kind of self-hypnosis you're using, but most self-hypnosis is simply a reaffirmation of beliefs that help you, so it's probably fine. I'm just kind of saying, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, hypnosis it's got sort of a strange association with it, you know, from what we've seen on TV and stuff, but it's actually just finding ways to, you know,
screw people up mentally.
Create beliefs.
Oh, no, I'm kidding. Yeah, it is.
Dangle in front of people.
It's exactly. It's just a really nice way of manipulating people. So that you can get what you want. No, it really is, though. It's more about solidifying and creating belief systems. Like, that's what you're talking about. And that is absolutely okay for you if you're doing that, Igor, and you are attracting. And congratulations on your girlfriend. That's awesome. And yes, whenever you get a girlfriend, other girls will be a lot more attracted to you because you now don't want anything from these other women and they find that attractive. Ironically. So if you're going to be walking up to women now that you have a girlfriend, you genuinely just want to know about that person. You don't really want to attract to her because you have a girlfriend already. So it's more about just the sport of walking up and talking and having a good time. And if you tap into that when you're single, you'll have the exact same response from women that you do if you are dating someone already. So that's important. You want to go on to the next one?
Yep. Igor asks, again, any tips about how to get the girl to a place we can talk on a night at
a
nightclub? I can't dance, so I need a way to talk to her.
If you can't dance, I highly suggest you're taking some kind of lessons, because women typically translate whether or not a man can dance directly to how good he'll be in the bedroom. Like really, really directly do that. So if I were you, I would definitely take the time to learn how to dance at least a little bit. And so you can sort of hold yourself together when you are on the dance floor. But if you want to get a girl to a different place in a nightclub, all you have to do is go, "I can't hear you, let's go over here." And then turn and take her by the hand. You don't want to forcefully take her by the hand. You want to be very soft about it. Take her by the hand and just start walking. And walk to another part of the bar that's not as loud. The end. It's really, really, really simple. A lot of people complicate this a little bit too much, or they hesitate. You cannot hesitate. Just do it. You know, just go, "Hey, I can barely hear you. Let's go over here." That's it. And I actually talk about this a lot at in Attraction and Action, because it was a major, major topic, how to sort of isolate women like that. And it was a very in-depth explanation for it. But ultimately, if I would explain it really quickly, that's what I would say. That's what I did all the time. It was very, very important to do that. You just move her to a place where you're kind of alone or a little bit quieter somewhere, and then you want to get physical really quick. Like, not groping her and stuff, but just like touching her hands and playing with her hands and touching her lower, you know, putting your arm around her lower back and pulling her hips in toward you, that sort of thing. Because that's where all that stuff begins to happen. And I'll get this last one from Victor. Go ahead.
My very first foray into changing my belief that I couldn't dance was accidental. It was playing Dance Dance Revolution. So he's in Japan, so it's probably...
So everyone plays Dance Dance Revolution in Japan.
No, but you can probably walk into any sort of like arcade or whatever and find a DDR machine. And I know it doesn't translate to like club dancing, but it definitely, like, if you think you have no rhythm whatsoever, DDR is like a really cool way to start learning rhythm and to start getting your feet moving to like the beats of the song.
That's a pretty good idea.
And if you're into games, it gets addictive and it's an amazing workout.
I bet you lose a lot of weight doing it. I was just thinking about how that's the most ingenious method of getting gamers to work out in the world.
Oh yeah,
it was just so smart
that the music game evolved into Guitar Hero, because Guitar Hero involves like no physical activity, but it started with DDR, which was actually like brilliant to get nerds actually like doing a lot of exercise, like, because you get more, it's addictive, just like any game. You want to like beat the next level, you want to master this song, and in the process you get to start to understand music and dancing a little bit, and you do a lot of work. So anywho,
that's your DDR story. com. So I guess the last one here is from Victor, and he says, I told him I couldn't get to his question, but he said, "How can you not attract girls while showing high value at the same time? For example, a best friend's girlfriend." So this is a really good question, and it's a really difficult thing to do. It takes a lot of finesse. So if you do want to, the worst thing you could possibly do is try to put her on the same page as you, so she sees the behind the scenes stuff. Like, "Oh, I'm going to go over here and talk to this chick. Watch me do this." Don't do that, because it'll make her extremely attracted to you. Do that if you want to attract her, but don't do it if you don't want to attract her. Instead, you want to force her into the friend zone as fast as possible. Don't do any kind of high value building stuff, none of that stuff. Don't use any negative body language. Just face her and, you know, maybe your best friend, directly, and just start talking about deep crap that has no business talking about in a bar. Like, for example, So why'd you move here? How'd you two meet? And what are you going to school or blah blah? You know, just kind of like normal crappy conversation that people that you probably used to have, Victor, before. You want to have that with her, and then that sort of makes it seem from the outside. It makes it seem like you are interacting with these people, and that they're like truly accepting you. And then when you turn around and you begin to interact with other girls, then you can start to show your value and banter and everything with them. But don't ever banter with your friend's girlfriend unless he's sort of leading the banter. You know what I mean? Or unless it's you've been around her a lot and you're already in the friend zone. You know, it's usually best to keep your friends, girlfriends or significant others at an arm's distance, but also intrigued enough to still be attracted to your friend. If they think that you're a complete loser, then they're going to think that your friend has loser friends, you know, and that's not good either. So you've got to be high value, and you got to give your friend a lot of props. You know, another way to do that is to talk about how, in front of her, tell him that, that you wouldn't be who you are today if it wasn't for him, or that you respect him a lot, and, you know, just play him up a little bit, and then you can split and go talk to other chicks after that, and she'll sort of, seeing that bit of social validation for her boyfriend, she'll begin to be infatuated right there on the spot with him, and it'll leave you some space. And she'll also like you a lot because you just basically built up her boyfriend, and she'll want him to hang out with you more. This is a game that I've had to play a lot in my life. There was a time in which I would just not do anything. I would be like, I'm just going to not be valuable because I didn't know how to turn it off properly. And then there was a time in which I was like, screw that, I'm not going to stop doing this. I'm just going to keep going. And I can't let anybody stop me, you know? So I've been back and forth on that, and eventually I came to a place where I settled, and I really have it down pat now, where I'm pretty good about turning it off in a proper way. So, you know, just make sure that you're paying attention to it, and that you put her in the friend zone pretty quickly so that you don't have to worry about, you know, a love triangle or anything like that. So Victor says that made sense.
There was a follow-up from Mark.
Yeah, I see that. Okay, I don't know why. Okay, I'm not really understanding. She got upset and said she would have to talk it over with her boyfriend. I backed off. Oh, I see. She was hung around because we worked together at a retail store. She is now approaching me at my other job, the pizza job. Okay, is he going to put pizza? Okay, so Mark, if you are already sort of asked her out to a movie, then yeah, you've sort of crossed the line a little bit, and you're going to have to back that off a little bit, and you really need to start focusing on other women and get back and you sort of push yourself back into the friend zone for a minute and then build it up from there. I believe there's a friend zone training video in the resources tab in the members area. So if you go there and you see the resources tab, you can click on it and you can find that video, and you can kind of check it out and see how to get out of the friend zone once you put yourself back in it. But right now, yeah, you sort of sounds like you're gonna burn that bridge if you keep going. So
there's also a workplace video there too, which sort of applies.
Yeah, it totally applies because you're the girl that you're talking about works with you. So, okay, guys. Well, that's all I'm gonna go over today. We went a little bit over here, about 20 minutes over, but. I want to say happy holidays, everybody, and have a really great new year. We're going to do another call right after the new year, right before our LA boot camp. And we have a DAO of Badass Black Ops training program that's going from Friday the 6th to the 8th of January, so in Los Angeles. So if you're around here and you want to get, I think there's one more spot left. So if you want to get that spot, then go ahead and email brad@thedaoofbadass.com right now, and he'll call you, and you guys can talk about the details and learn a little bit about what goes on. It's nothing but field work. It's field work, and then it's sort of recap of what happened, and then advice, and we go back and forth between field work and classroom over and over and over again. It's just like a massive amount of great response, and we had some guys. We just did one in New York with this new format, and it changed everyone's lives. So if you're able to make it out to LA, I don't know when I'm going to be doing another one in LA. Probably not for at least 8 or 9 months. Probably not for realistically for another year, though, because I have a lot of other places to travel. So if you are in the area and you want to join, then email brad@thedaoofbadass.com and hop on board. If not, Cool, no big deal. But when I do come to your area, let me know. So, all right, guys, thanks, Brad, for being here, and thank you guys for showing up, and thank you for all the questions, everyone. And I look forward to being there with you in the new year to sort of usher in this next level of badassery for everyone. And I look forward to taking it to the next level myself, because I have a lot of stuff going on with me, and I'll be talking a lot about that and my sort of next evolution as a man, and hopefully I can take you guys with me. So take care. Thank you so much, and I will see you guys next year.
See you guys.